It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll talk about a couple of hearings recently on Capitol Hill regarding cattle markets, where Donnie King, CEO of Tyson, testified on whether outside distractions are affecting markets.
Very simply, experts, policymakers, government regulators agree. The combination of supply, consumer demand, pandemic disruptions, and geopolitical unrest is reason enough for the inflation. And you referenced Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, but we also have the testimony of U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We have David Anderson, livestock economist at Texas A&M University. They all agree that what we're seeing from the sudden shocks to the economy is expected.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Tanner Beamer. Tanner is Senior Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. Tanner, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure to join you, Tony.
First off, I think we need to set the stage here for the conversation we're about to have. And I think to start that is identifying what that title means. When we talk about government affairs for the cattle industry, what's the elevator speech there that really helps us understand what your role is?
Well, you know, members of Congress and agency officials and all of the executive branch every single day are making decisions and implementing policies that impact farmers and ranchers across the country. And that can be on areas of environmental issues. It can be related to grazing issues, international trade, animal health and well-being, and yes, even cattle markets. And so our role at NCBA and the Government Affairs Office is to make sure that cattle producers' best interests are represented through that process. You know, we don't come up with the policy positions that NCBA adopts. That is that's done by our members through our century-old policymaking process. It's a grassroots organization, and we have been since our founding in 1898. We stick by that. But cattle producers, you know, if they had to spend as much time in Washington, D.C. to make sure that these policies were actually not going to be harmful and making sure that members of Congress and some of these agency folks understand the actual impacts of what they're proposing to do, they wouldn't have a whole lot of time to spend back home on their operations. So that's where we come in. We be in D.C. so that they don't have to, making sure that their voice is represented in the democratic process.
Well, and this past week, 2 days of testimony, one on the Senate side, one a full day on the House side. And I guess that's a good place to start with these cattle markets hearings. By the way, there were a lot of highlights, but what would you put as some of the top highlights from those 2 days?
Well, you know, I think the highlight really comes from the Senate side. You know, that was, you know, we've had several hearings on cattle market issues during the 117th Congress. And we're talking the House and Senate, not just in the agriculture committees, but in the judiciary committees as well. What really sets the Senate apart is that this was a legislative hearing, which is a little bit different than your typical hearing, which is designed to gather information on a broad range of topics. Legislative hearings are specifically to evaluate specific pieces of legislation. In this case, they're looking at the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act and the Meatpacking Special Investigator Act. And I think that the big takeaway from the witnesses who testified in that Senate panel was that cattle producers are not united in support of mandates on the cash market. You know, you heard from representatives of some cattle organizations that are supportive of that. And then, of course, you heard from Mr. Sean Tiffany, who's the president-elect of the Kansas Livestock Association and a member of NCBA. And his testimony aligns with the policies that were adopted by NCBA members, which also oppose government mandates on cattle pricing methods. And so I'm hoping that the Senate will use that, you know, that contrary testimony and say, well, hold on a minute. Maybe we need to reevaluate our focus and look at some of these issues that have broad agreement rather than rehashing the same conversation about mandates that we've been having for 2 years.
Can we step back just a moment and talk about a meeting of the industry? This was not just National Cattlemen's Beef Association. This was really players from from the nation, from different organizations who got together, identifying there are some issues, there are some problems. Is that important for us to remember what came out of Phoenix?
You know, I think that it is. I mean, you said it. There were representatives there from basically all the stakeholder groups in the cattle space. And we don't necessarily see eye to eye with those other groups very often. But given the seriousness of the challenges facing the industry, particularly in the marketplace, it was a good decision to get together and have that conversation. Now, I wasn't there. Neither was staff for any of the organizations. It was all the producer leaders. But on the backside of that meeting, they put out a joint press release that outlined some of the areas of agreement on things that we can work on. And that included things like a cattle contract library. It included in robust enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act. It included a commitment to advocate for additional processing capacity. And I think that because those were the things that the industry identified as here's where we can agree, you've seen such legislative successes in the House of Representatives. You know, we've seen bills to extend livestock mandatory reporting authority. We've seen bills like the cattle contract library move through the House, get marked up unanimously by the House Agriculture Committee, and then sail through on a wide margin in the full House of Representatives. And that is because of that broad industry buy-in. On the Senate side, you know, we still continue to have this conversation about the role of government in the cattle market, and there is not the same level of agreement on that issue. And as a result, you've not really seen any legislation move through the Senate as it relates to cattle markets. I think that there's a renewed focus on some of these mandate bills, and so we're going to need to work extra hard to educate members of Congress about how that will negatively impact the cattle producers in their states. But I'm hoping that in the aftermath of this hearing, we identified some of those areas where, yes, there is some agreement, and maybe we can focus our attention on that a little bit more.
Yeah, and, you know, we're really identifying what that message was to Congress. And are there some other things that NCBA was trying to make sure that Congress at least had that information? Because, I mean, basically, you can't change somebody's mind, but you can present enough information to give them the opportunity to possibly see it in a different light. Were you able to do that with in either of these hearings?
Well, you know, I think our president, Don Schiefelbein, was one of the witnesses in the House hearing, and he said it better than anybody, I think. He said, look, we share concerns about consolidation in the meatpacking sector, which is what the subject of the hearing was, and it's been the subject of many hearings. We've given this issue a lot of attention in the last couple of years. But he said, look, we share concerns about that consolidation, but we would have preferred to discuss a host of more pressing issues. Things like labor shortages at the packing plants, which is further adding downward pressure to cattle prices. Things like soaring inflation contributing to skyrocketing input costs. You know, these are just a couple examples of things that are affecting cattle producers today, right here, right now. And we think that that is a far more appropriate role for Congress to play in solving some of those complex problems, rather than hashing out this same argument about cash market mandates that is so divisive within our industry. And Don delivered that message to the House of Representatives, and I think they seem to take it to heart. We have a really good working relationship with Chairman Scott's office as well as Ranking Member Thompson, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to see some progress on some of those, like we said, I know I sound like a broken record, but those industry-supported, broadly accepted policies that can actually have a meaningful impact in a positive way on cattle producers.
And I guess the last one here is we've talked about where we've been and what's been happening, but maybe we need to look down the road. And sometimes just seeing a sign that says speed bump ahead helps us to prepare. What's the focus as you start looking down the road?
You know, for NCBA, that really is going to be making sure that we get livestock mandatory reporting reauthorized. We have continued to kick that can down the road for almost 2 years now. And luckily, we have not lost authority for that program. It hasn't expired. But we, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty with keeping LMR in flux like this. We've been getting temporary extensions through the appropriation process, but it really is time for Congress to reauthorize that program on a five-year basis, as is the way that this is supposed to be done. You know, livestock mandatory reporting, that is the number one market transparency tool that is currently available to cattle producers. And we talk a lot about market transparency. And ultimately, in our conversations about market transparency and where we need to go from here, we talk about ways to improve upon the good work that livestock mandatory reporting already does in getting information to market participants in the livestock sector. But if that were to go away, then we lose access to all of it. We really need to keep our eye on the ball and make sure that we are getting this program reauthorized in a timely manner and in a way that is done with some buy-in and the consensus of the stakeholder community, right? Again, we don't want to get bogged down in controversial policy. Let's focus on those areas where there is agreement so we don't lose access to this critical program.
You mentioned agreement and areas of agreement, and that means sitting down and talking through things. Even when you don't agree with somebody, sitting down to see where can we agree and how can I better understand your point of view and how can I help you understand my point of view? For somebody who might be sitting there thinking, hey, I'm against all of this. I'm polar opposite here. Is there a place at the table for them to come sit down and try to help their voice be heard within the industry?
Absolutely there is. And, you know, I think, you know, I might be a little bit biased, but I think that this is what NCEA excels at. You know, we represent over 26,000 direct members, and then through our 46 state affiliate organizations, another 178,000, give or take, cattle producers. And they represent big operations and small operations, feedstock producers, cow-calf operations, stockers, backgrounders, cattle feeders. That is a very diverse membership, which inherently means that there is going to be a diversity of opinions on how to address some of these challenges in the industry. And NCBA, for over 100 years, has provided a venue for those different perspectives to come together, participate in our policymaking process, get their voice on the record, and ultimately vote on those policies which guides the lobbying efforts of our office in Washington, D.C. And I always tell people, you know, get involved. And it doesn't matter if it is at NCDA, the national level, or your county cattlemen's association, or whatever local group there is, it's important to get involved. Many of the policies that are on our books at NCDA began at that local county regional cattlemen's association level before it worked its way through the process to become policy of this organization. So your membership in those organizations, in addition to NCBA, really does give you a voice in this process and allows you to make sure that you have some voice in the way that we do business back here.
If you'd like to learn more, go online, ncba.org. That's ncba.org. Tanner Beamer is Senior Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
As a farmer, there's a lot you can't control. Now there's one thing you can. Introducing the all-new Fendt Rogator 900 Series, the only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance to elevate your control in all seasons. Add Liquid Logic technology and 3-year Gold Star customer care, and you have a machine putting power at your fingertips. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association online, ncba.org.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Couple of hearings recently on Capitol Hill focusing on cattle markets and distractions with the markets. And one of those testifying on the House side, Donnie King, CEO of Tyson, talking about why packers started seeing profits.
There are a number of things that if I could unpack that for you. From 2015 until the pandemic hit, in 2015, we were coming off the trough of the most recent bottom of the cycle, where herd liquidation and drought in 13 created that situation. So the supply of cattle were very tight. So you're starting to see herd rebuild, and you're starting to see capacity utilization go up in plants.